To help support this podcast
and get exclusive bonus content and rewards,
make a monthly pledge at
patreon.com/universebox.
And remember to think outside.
You know, we're both very alike. Born into wealth and privilege, yet forced to walk our lives alone, haunted by loss, driven to prove ourselves worthy of those who came before. Be careful, Bruce. That way of thinking, the need to fill the void, it can consume you.
Does it ever go away?
No, but you can find closure, a way to move on without letting go.
How?
Well, I don't want to make any promises, but when the time is right, we'll talk again.
Stole my dead girlfriend, you two-faced slut. Welcome to Legends of Gotham, where we talk about Fox's hit series Gotham, set in the world of Batman. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And we're back for more Gotham.
Woo, Gotham!
Talking Gotham.
Talking Gotham.
Talking Gotham. And as we mentioned on our other podcast the other night, if you don't tune in live, 8:30 p.m. EST, live.universebox.com, you missed the technical snafus. The missteps.
The missteps and the snafus.
The messing up saying my dead girlfriend versus my girlfriend. Completely different meaning.
Completely different.
But luckily, we don't have many people there tonight, but we do have Bobby.
We have Bobby.
Bobby Hawk is in there. I'm sure that some more people will come in. They tend to filter in as it goes by. I bet at 9 o'clock we're going to get a big influx.
We usually do around 9 o'clock.
Yeah, because there's another
DC
superhero show
yes.
Going on right around this time, which I mean, we understand. You guys like The Flash. It happens. But yeah, we're here to talk Gotham. Actually, before we get started talking Gotham, though, I want to you guys remember how we did all of those Gotham podcasts roundtables that we didn't get a chance to do before
that,
Gotham
like,
started this year.
We did that like twice.
Yeah, we did two of them. But one of the people that we did that with, one is our significant other podcast, Gotham TV podcast, which we talk about all the time.
All the time.
Another one, and I just wanted to mention, just because they're doing a great job this year, is After Gotham over at the 21 Network. I'm trying to see if I can get the...
I gave you the link straight to the playlist.
Yeah, it's youtube.com/user/21Network, all spelled out. And they do After Gotham. It was Gotham After Show that last year, but now they do After Gotham, which is basically, instead of waiting a night to do it,
they do it right away.
They go live right around 9 p.m., right after Gotham airs on the
imagine.
East Coast. Yeah, I know. It's intense. But they put on a great show over there, and we love those guys, and we hope we can have them back on, you know, over the break maybe, over the mid-season break. It'd be nice to have them back on. But go over, check out their show, their YouTube show. It's also a podcast, I believe. Mm-hmm. But the YouTube show, it's a real value add there. They have a – here, I'll just play a little bit of it here. See, they have like a whole
– reactions.
They have a whole set here with a couch and a chair.
I want a couch. Get me a couch.
And Chad, one of the main host, he's wearing a very extensive Riddler costume, if I can get a good shot of it here.
Nice.
Yeah, he's very, very extensive with a Riddler hat and everything. But they do a great job over there at After Gotham, so definitely go check them out. But you know what? You're not here for After Gotham. You're not here for us to compliment other Gotham podcasts.
You're here for us.
You're here for us, which we appreciate.
Absolutely.
And we really hope you didn't kill any babies last week, like
yeah,
we advised.
Don't ever listen to Bill when he says to kill babies.
But we have a brand new episode to talk about tonight. Anne-Marie, why don't you hit us up with the rhyming, riddling episode summary, which is riddling ever more relevant.
You good now?
Yeah.
Okay. Who will support Gotham's new mayor? He's got a whole city trapped in his snare. Can Oswald save his mom from the slab? He's quite unsure, but he's taken a stab. Does Ed know he's cracked? He's of two minds. Does invading vending machines levy a fine? Will Jim expose Theo as a mayoral imposter? The limping army strikes in Mommy's Little Monster.
Mommy's Little Monster.
What'd you think, Anne-Marie?
I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it.
You liked it? You loved it? You
want
some more
of
it? Yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Definitely. And just another whacked out, crazy, crazy episode.
Really, I mean, have we had any episodes that weren't like
I don't think we've had a miss in the second season at all.
No, like there might be some that like dip a little for us, but no strong misses.
Yeah, I will admit, and this isn't the fault of At Gotham TV writers or any of the cast or anything. Last night when I was watching it, I did fall asleep.
No, Don't talk about it.
Like 30 seconds, but it was because I was super tired. It had nothing to do with the episode because I rewatched that section.
What part did you fast?
Oh, what was it?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
Sadly enough, I believe it was the section where Head Ed confronts Regular Ed right after he wakes up.
What?
And then I woke up and I was like, oh my goodness, I'm missing the best part.
That's awful.
Yeah, I know. And it was just because I was overtired.
Yeah, it was a long day yesterday.
Okay, but a lot to talk about this week, so let's get into it. Okay, first off, Theo Gallivan, he's accruing a lot of new enemies this season. He's only been around this season. Yeah, but this quarter season. Enemies are up for Theo Gallivan this quarter, which is good because he's about to take over Wayne Enterprises. So he thinks. Will it happen? I don't know. It's hard to say. But first of all, I really appreciated that Jim is finally putting two and two together with Theo Gallivan. You know, it was just about at that spot where he was going to come off as a little dull.
Dumb.
Yeah, that he wasn't picking up on this.
But it really took until he was like, Penguin wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the thing. He's like, this is non-characteristic.
He's like,
Penguin.
I'm besties with Penguin, and he totes want to do that, is what he said, actually. I think that was an exact quote.
He might have actually said that, yeah. So thanks, at Gotham TV writers. I'm glad he finally started to put it together on his own, mm-hmm. that it didn't actually take somebody laying it out for him. I mean, that helped. We saw that help.
Definitely. Well, it helped him trust it a little bit more. Trust his inclinations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right there at the end, too, Penguin lets Jim know that Theo is aiming for somebody that Jim cares about.
Without telling him who.
Yeah. So I wonder if, Jim's going to pick up that's Bruce. Because, anyone who's come close to trying to protect him either trusts Theo implicitly or he's pushed away entirely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if Bruce doesn't get some help from old Jimmy boy, I don't know. Will Bruce Wayne die this season?
I think not.
What if they did do that? What if they did? They just were like, okay, this is Gotham without Batman forever. Like,
they have said that they are not opposed to killing a classic character.
To killing a classic character. I don't know if they would go all the way to Bruce Wayne, though.
Yeah, that's a little extreme. That's like, hey, we don't have a future.
Although I think that would be a really interesting way to go. It would further solidify the whole fact that the show is called Gotham. It's not Batman. It's Gotham. I would love to see that kind of
Gotham
play out.
On a different planet.
Exactly.
A different
Earth G. It's on Earth G.
Ow.
But let's see here. I also wonder, though, how did Penguin know that Jim has a good relationship with Bruce?
Wait. Oh, how did Penguin know that Jim has a
good relationship? Yeah, because he said, Jim.
I misunderstood your thing.
He's aiming for somebody you care about, Jim. You know, shouldn't trust Theo Gallivan.
I think because he knows Jim better than he lets on.
Yeah, and I mean, we did see at the beginning of the season, too, that he was like, yeah, I know your girlfriend, and you know.
And even last season, Jim came there looking for the Wayne murderer. Mm-hmm. He came to Fishes.
Oh, you know, that's true.
And Penguin was there because he carried an umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So at least he knows they have at least a passing mm-hmm. connection.
Yeah. See, the way I interpreted that was, how did he know that Gallivan was after Bruce?
Okay.
Because he never told Penguin the full plan.
No, but Penguin knew about the knife and stuff.
Right, so, which is, like, the story. Mm-hmm. He was sent after the knife. I was like, this was easy, Bill.
But another potential enemy that Theo Gallivan has right now, I think, is Selina Kyle, a.k.a. Cat, a.k.a. Catgirl, a.k.a. Meow. But I think that, you know, in her efforts to protect Bruce from Silver St. Cloud, who, mm-hmm. you know, that two-faced slut, as Selina puts it in this week's episode. I actually said that was one of her favorite parts mm-hmm. of the episode on Twitter this week. But I'm wondering if this is going to kind of put her up against Theo Gallivan sooner rather than later, because I'm pretty sure next week we're going to see Kat go after Silver St. Cloud.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, you can't get close to Silver St. Cloud without getting the mayor all up in that business, you know?
I have more on similar topics later.
Oh, that's fair.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair.
There's a lot there.
But I'm kind of pegging that, you know, Selena's going to be coming up against him, which might put her back in allegiance with Jim, you know, because she kind of had a falling out with Jim last episode.
Yeah.
So
a little bit.
They might be circling back around. Also with Penguin, because, you know, she kind of ratted out Penguin a little bit, too. But, you know, Penguin has good reason to go after Galavan now, obviously.
You think?
He killed his mom. And everything, and basically he has no reason not to now, because the last thing he really cared about besides his empire, which he doesn't have his empire anymore either, but you know, his mommy's dead, is dead, you know, so he has nothing to lose, not even his men, not his empire, anything. So I think he's going to be coming after Galavan hard.
Yeah.
Actually, we were talking a little bit off the air. Mm-hmm. And we were saying that, you know, we know that Penguin's father is coming in an episode or two. I think he might end up running back to Daddy to get some help, you know.
Maybe to, you know, recoup from the gunshot wound.
This guy killed Mommy, Daddy. Can you help me get him?
Is what Penguin will say.
What's the magic word?
Very nice. Very nice.
Gag.
But I also wonder if maybe he might go back and appeal to Butch, because it's said this episode that Butch never expected Theo to kill Gertrude, so there might still be some allegiance there. I kind of got the impression that Theo agreed to let Butch go off on his own way if he gave up Penguin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that he had his men behind him and everything like that. So I'm wondering.
But all of Butch's men left him. Butch is basically alone anyway.
Yeah,
so they're like two lone wolves.
Yeah, I can definitely see them circling back around to each other too, but maybe Butch is more in the power position now because he doesn't have the mental control thing. And in a lot of ways, he's a much better crook than Penguin is. Penguin's a more efficient manipulator. Mm. Butch is a better crook. If a crook is a businessman, Butch is a better businessman. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
For sure. And Bobby in the chat room says, so many great lines and scenes this episode. Hard to choose the best one, for
sure. Very much, very much. Okay, so we've known since the beginning that Penguin is very, very resilient.
Yes, like a cockroach.
A bit like a cockroach. In this episode, I think he was pushed to his absolute breaking point. And while he may have cracked, he also fought back and was quite impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not like killing the trust fund babies and calling Mommy for a ransom and any of that. This was some serious goodness. So calling Theo a coward and challenging him to kill him himself only to end up stabbing him and escaping.
Yeah,
through Tabby's gunfire.
Especially in that moment of extreme grief that he's feeling. Like, the only person he really gives a crap about in the world.
He's dead.
I was about to say something other than crap. But the only person he really cares about in the world, you know, is killed in his arms.
Mm-hmm.
And he still has enough of his facilities with him to, you know, strike out at Theo.
Right, which was pretty impressive. And again, showing how he's so resilient. Holding Jim and Theo at gunpoint, getting shot by Tabby, and still stealing the limo and escaping.
Well, I mean, that was really the name of the game for him season one, too, was just getting into these impossible situations with these big, big gangsters and somehow finding a way out.
Right, but we haven't had any of that this season, so it's always been, he's been losing, but you know what, I think that's only made him stronger.
Yeah, for sure.
A bit. I am excited to see what his next move is next week, because basically he has no one but Zaz.
Mm-hmm.
And does he really still have Zaz? Because he's contract.
He still has all that Zaz.
And all that Zaz!
Hey!
There you go.
He's very resilient, very cockroach-like, and he has really good plans too, which my next point is the whole March of the Penguins thing.
Yes, I love the March of the Penguins.
All the decoy penguins. First of all, a brilliant idea, because, you know, if everybody's Penguin, then nobody's Penguin, and he can get in there and strike at Galavan himself. Brilliant idea, a very Penguin-esque idea, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally has had the manpower to pull something like that off.
Right.
Although, it very much reminded me of a promotional thing that Gotham did
last year,
in the advance of season one, which is where they had all these people dressed like Penguin following Robin Lord Taylor around with umbrellas all around New York City. I don't think they have any pictures of them in New York City here, but there's a big group shot of all the Penguins. And I thought it was really cool that they finally did it on the show.
Right.
Because I remember, you know, I was a real big fan of the lead up to season one and all the promotional stuff. Mm-hmm. Bobby says the army of Cobblepot cosplayers. Nice. Very true. But, you know, I was a big fan of all the promotional stuff. And this was one of my favorite promotional things they did. And it was so cool to see it kind of on the show.
Right.
I almost want to say one of the guys standing in front, and we'll have the link at the show notes at legendsofgotham.com, but of that promotional photo, mm-hmm. Might have been one of the actors who was
there. He might have been, yeah. It's funny because Robin Lord Taylor looks so young in this picture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, apparently Gotham has aged him legit.
Well, when you're the king of Gotham, you know, it's just like.
The king of Gotham!
It's just like President Obama, you know, when he first took office, he looked
so young.
Yeah, and now he has gray hair and
all the wrinkles.
George Bush's nose fell off after being president for 8 years. I mean, it takes a toll on you, for sure. And that's a proven fact. No, but I also thought it was interesting that they, Cabal of cosplayers.
Say that five times. Cobblepot cosplayers.
Did I say Cobblepot?
Yeah, you really nice. Did. It was not right.
I can't even say Cobblepot.
No.
Cobblepot's a tongue twister.
Cobblepot.
But I thought it was fun when Penguin, after he slices Galavan's neck and he's like going mm-hmm. towards the window, he's all hunched over mm-hmm. and like walking like this, just like comic book Penguin. Like,
yeah.
I thought, you know, for one, that waddle hunched over thing, really good way to avoid gunfire and, you know, be a moving target and just an unclear target. So I wonder if maybe he starts walking like that because everyone's gunning for him, and then it just kind of breaks his back, you know. And he's doing the whole. I mean, he's always had the waddle since
Fish stabbed his foot.
Yeah, but it's definitely the hunched over thing is starting to come into play too, which I really love. Although awesome. I doubt they'll do that too much because I mean
it's hard on the actor.
Yeah, it's hard on the actor, and Robin Lord Taylor still he's a young
he's like
hot
25,
actor.
Yeah,
I'm sure he doesn't want to be Quasimodo for 4 or 5 more seasons. You know,
yeah, probably not. Tabby. Okay. What is her deal? She's driving me nuts because we literally know nothing about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like not knowing. I need backstory because I don't think anybody actually believes that her and Theo are biological siblings. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, he calls her kitten and everything.
Yeah,
else.
Oh, kitten, blah, blah, blah. But I want to know how they came to be siblings mm-hmm. and in cahoots and all of that. Like,
oh, yeah, I want to know how Silver St. Cloud got in that mix,
That's, yeah, I was like, I want to know, and why are you so proud of her being a vixen? I mean, well, we know why you're so proud of her being a vixen. But, and obviously, she's all in on everything now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she was before or not, she is now. What makes someone so evil that they kill a man by putting their stiletto through their throat?
Well, she's just sadistic.
She is sadistic, but why? Why? What happened in her poor life to make her so sadistic that she will stiletto a man in the throat?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not normal.
No.
No.
At least it wasn't in the eye.
I really thought they were going to go for the eye, but...
Bobby is arguing that he still thinks they are biological siblings.
Really?
Just really gross ones.
Ew.
Yeah, I don't know.
But we don't know that for sure either.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And wouldn't she have been missed at the party if they are siblings? She got all dressed up for it. She was all pretty and fancy, but then she never really made an appearance.
Yeah, I thought that was weird too. Almost like there was a scene missing or something.
Right. I was like, shouldn't the? But I mean, she tends to always switch to the sniper, but.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's just how she got in the building. She came in the front door and went up to the roof.
She didn't bring a, you know, sniper bag with her to change into her leather
mm-hmm.
and gun people down.
But then again, if somebody is walking in with the mayor, they're probably not going to get their bags checked either. You know what I mean? So, I mean, she could have carried
it. It's not Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
Bobby says that scene with the heel and stuff gave him the same feeling Bill gets about the eye stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I believe it. And who taught her all this stuff with the whip and sniper?
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's really good at what she does. You have to learn it somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of thinking
that if they don't get, they might not ever say where she learned that stuff, but you know, there's someone floating around on this show who's known in her adult life for using a whip.
Yes.
So I think maybe Selena might take that as a trophy, or she might get some additional training or something.
Tigress, Tabby.
Tabby cat.
Cats.
Yes.
Tigers are cats. Mm-hmm. Tabby's a cat.
The number 23. It's all coming together.
It's 23.
It's an old movie about a conspiracy around the number 23 starring Jim Carrey.
Got it. Oh,
old
God.
Movie reference. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I want to see her fleshed out a little bit more. Not
something.
Not in a weird way. Just in more.
We do not need more flesh.
Yeah. In an informative way. I'd like some more information on her. And I'd like to have that question answered once and for all. Are they actually biological?
Yeah. I need that.
Or are
closure.
They just brothers and sisters in the Order of Saint Dumas,
or you know, even adoptive or step, or you know, such close friends that they consider each other siblings? Like, that's, I don't know, I just want to know. I want to know the deal.
We need to know more about Tabby.
Tabby,
you know what else people need to know more about?
What?
Our Patreon. Anne-Marie, why don't you tell them?
Hi, we have a Patreon.
We do.
This is a way for all of our lovely listeners to support our podcast.
And we love all of them.
We do love all of them. What's there, like 32 now?
36.
36?
36.
Wow.
I know.
That is fantastic. But what Patreon is, it's a monthly donation starting at 10 cents. We have a lot of people who do $1, $5, a couple $10 people. And it helps us to improve and do new things. Like, we've been able to upgrade equipment, upgrade hosting, all of which is very important.
We buy prizes for contests, which we're going to announce the winner of in just a moment.
Yes, we do have a contest winner, and we'll probably do something else for, like, when we come back from the, like, holiday break and stuff like that. So, committed to that now. but if you go to patreon.com/universebox, you can make a donation there.
Yeah, and we want to thank our 36 patrons at $219 a month for helping us out. Also, you know, if you sign up and you become a patron, there's access to every book I've ever written on there completely free of charge. I'm about to do a big Audible audiobook send out for one of my books. I just need to figure out which one to do it with. I might do it for Demon's Dare if I haven't done Demon's
Mallet
Dare
Hand.
Yet.
Mallet
yeah, with
Hand.
The Mallet Hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, all sorts of bonuses, bonus streams, movie commentary. We're doing Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles this week.
On Friday, probably. Yeah.
On Friday. So patreon.com/universebox.
Oh, and if you can't commit to a monthly donation, on YouTube, there's a little support us or support this channel button. You can make a one-time donation. You'll still get all of the same benefits.
Yeah, and you can get t-shirts, Legends of Gotham t-shirts and stuff like that at legendsofgotham.com/support.
Do it.
Okay, now we should go ahead and announce our contest winner. And I have it right here.
You have it?
It is actually the first person who entered. I did the random number drawing at work today. Yeah. Mayhem 68 on iTunes.
Mayhem!
Which I believe we have his email. So you just need to contact him to get his phone number. But you've won a Gotham Comic-Con exclusive TV guide.
TV guide. And, you know, who knows? We might throw you a letter or something fun in there.
Definitely. And we did actually get another review for, because one of the ways to enter was a review on iTunes. Mm-hmm. We got one more that I wanted to go ahead and read.
Oh, go ahead.
From InstaHate81.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, InstaHate says, I love you guys.
Woo-hoo!
It's like a show that your good nerd friends host. You all crack me up. Smiley face.
Yes!
Thank you very much, InstaHate81.
I'm a nerd.
You're a nerd. You're official.
I'm an official
air
nerd.
High five.
Air high five.
Cool.
I'm really loud tonight. Sorry, y'all.
It happens. It happens. But thank you. I'm sure we'll do another giveaway at the beginning of next season.
I'll come up with something
for
the, you mean next half?
Next half of the season, rather. Yeah, for sure. And we don't have a look at this Joker this week. Look at this
You
Joker.
Can look at the penguins. Just look at
There's
the penguins.
There's no Joker
hey, look at this penguins.
For you to look at.
There was a
at.
Lot of penguins.
There's no Joker, but
hey,
there's a penguin
penguins.
And a Riddler and a Galavan and a tigress and a cat.
And a guy without a hand.
And a silver St. Cloud.
Boo.
Oh, SS Peabody joins us in the chat room. Hi, SS Peabody. You're not too late to the party.
Never.
Welcome. Oh, you know what?
What? Bring, bring. Bring, 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 bring.
Bat phone's ringing. Hold on. Who could it be? Is it Pastor
Who
Batman?
Could it
I think
be
so.
Now?
Here, I'll pick it up. Bring, 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 bring.
Hello. Legends of Gotham. This is Holy Bat Pastor.
Holy Bat Pastor,
Marie,
yes.
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm not going to be able to be with you again tonight because of that class that I'm taking on Tuesday nights. However,
drop out.
I know that the show is in capable hands, so I'm just wanting to leave you with a top five list. This is the top five Read Between the Lines moments from Gotham Season 2, Episode 7, entitled Mommy's Little Monster.
Yes.
Or as I like to call it, that time Butch escaped from Gordon, wait for it, single-handedly. Number five, anyone receiving a job offer for an outfit called the Strike Force should immediately decline. I hear the turnover rate is high, and the work environment is just murder. Number four, upon his victory, newly elected Mayor Theo Gallivan addresses his supporters with the unofficial theme song of the Democratic Party playing in the background. Just saying. Number three, don't ever think you can sneak into your girlfriend's bed at 2 o'clock in the morning reeking up chili dogs. You know what you did. They always know. Number two, I'll wager that if you were to ask Selena Kyle how to spell Vixen, her response would be B-I-T. Okay, let's cut that one off right there. It's still a family show. And the number one Read Between the Line moment from Gotham Season 2, Episode 7, Mommy's Little Monster, in three words, why should men avoid chicks who wear high heels? Death by stiletto. Hey, guys, I thought it was a fantastic episode. It might have been the high point of the season. It was phenomenal. I'm going to leave this with you. Y'all have fun tonight. Miss you. I'll be listening later and watching in the morning. This is Holy Bat Pastor signing off, reminding you, hashtag, you stole my dead girlfriend, and hashtag, throat piercing is a thing.
Thank you very much, Pastor Batman. We always love your countdowns. They are so good.
So awesome.
Our show is so much better for having them, and we're
so much better for having
you as a listener. SSP Body in the chat room says, I thought Jim and Leslie were already living together.
Apparently, kind of. Jim isn't sure if he has a place anymore.
I believe the last time we checked in on Jim's living situation, he was sleeping in the locker room, wasn't he?
Yeah.
At the GCPD. So
yeah.
So he probably didn't actually.
Yeah, that's kind of gross.
He's a couch surfer. That Jim Gordon.
He is. Yeah, it's kind of odd.
Okay, so thank you again, Pastor Batman.
Absolutely.
As always, love it, love it, love it. Hope you enjoyed your class. It's morning where you are. Listening to us
or watching us. Oh, when he's, yeah.
Yeah, when he's watching us.
I was like, it's not morning. Okay. It's 8:59.
So this week's episode, another big moment.
Big moments.
I consider this week's episode the birth of the Riddler.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yes, I think Head Ed takes over at the end of this episode. I love it. And I really think that is the Riddler we're going to be seeing for the rest of this series.
I think that's the Ed we're seeing the rest of the, yeah.
Yeah, I believe.
They've melded.
At Derby Kid, asked on Twitter what we should call Head Ed, and I think just Ed.
And at this point, it's just Nigma.
Yeah, it's
Ednigma.
Yeah, Ednigma. But, you know, first of all, you know, he brings out the question mark envelope.
Multiple times.
Yeah, definitely. This is definitely the official beginning of the riddling obsession beyond the
little silly riddles
and everything that he leaves out everywhere. You know, the writers nail this about the character. The reason everyone always says the Riddler's a stupid character because he leaves all these clues for Batman is because he's so obsessed with that feeling of getting away with something, of almost getting caught, but not quite. He really, honestly, and I don't think this is overstating it. I think he has a little bit of like a sexual gratification thing that happens when he hits that moment.
Yeah,
He gets right up there to the edge and he almost gets caught and then he doesn't. And that's what he lives for.
Yeah.
You know, that's what drives him. And the writers completely nail it in this episode. He almost gets himself caught.
Yeah.
Because he wants that feeling so much. Right here at the beginning, before he's, you know, had those run-ins with Batman to kind of build up confidence, he's already there, man.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
He's good. He's
Although
got this.
I did think it was a little concerning that I think he gave Leslie enough rope to hang himself with here.
Yeah.
While because he basically says to her, the excuse he gives so she doesn't see Kringle in the morgue drawer is that he was having a fight with her. And, you know, once they realize that Kristen Kringle has gone missing, I think Ed's probably going to be suspect number one.
Yeah, the boyfriend's always the suspect.
Yeah, because...
And he's weird.
It's obvious they were having a fight. Like, the thing that bugs me about it is that Ed had a perfectly clear alibi at the end of last week's episode, because Kristen Kringle had just talked to Leslie about the crazy ex-boyfriend who, you know, would mess with her, or kill him or kill her or whatever if he caught her with another man.
Right.
And so he had a complete out there. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not so much, because he's going to be the first guy they think of, because he's the guy she was fighting with.
Right.
But then again, I guess he could probably spin it to where the fight was over the old boyfriend coming back or something. And then, you know, so maybe that's where she disappeared to.
And he dropped this badge at my apartment.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I know that's going to come back to bite him.
Yeah.
I wonder.
It's
going to
at least come back, whether it bites him or not.
There's two ways it could go. One, he plays it off completely and he comes out unscathed. Mm-hmm. Or he has to go underground and maybe align himself with somebody like Penguin or Gal. I really hope him and Penguin form a...
Yeah.
Not an
they
uneasy
at least
alliance.
Need to work together.
Yeah, like, I was thinking last night maybe an uneasy alliance. I'd rather see just an easy alliance, a friendly alliance between the two of them. Because I think after Ed's break in this episode, they're definitely more psychotic equals now, for sure.
Yeah.
One last little quibble and bit that I had about it.
Quibbles and bits, yeah.
How did he have access to the vending machine? Did he pick the lock or did he have a key?
I'm sure he picked the lock.
I guess he probably picked the lock.
Yeah, I think he figured it. He's kind of a smart guy.
Yeah, and SSP Body says Dark Ed is so much fun and Ed and Oswald are going to be BFFs.
Fresh!
We can only hope.
We really can only hope.
We can only hope.
So, Selena versus Silver.
Yes.
I have no idea how this is going. I don't know who's going to win, but I can't wait to see it.
Yes. Cat fight.
Meow. Yeah. I think I actually wrote that in my notes.
Did you?
Time for a cat fight. Like, I think this is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's my things. I'll do a little Silver versus Selena. All right. So Silver has the backing of her uncle, Theo, the mayor of Gotham, and his sister, Tabby. This is not a dangerous pair. So she's got some support in the cat fight. She appears to just do whatever she's told, though. She doesn't seem to have a brain of her own. I'm a little afraid she's been taking lessons from Aunt Tabby on fighting and murder, though. So we don't really know. I'm sure she's wearing heels, but it's a little scary. However, Alfred does not like her.
No.
So we have that, because she tried to be all smart and sassy and it was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Selena. So she has the support of Ivy?
Not really.
I know. Hence the question.
Ivy kind of creeps her out.
Yeah, a little bit, but she'd probably help her. But she probably could have Penguin's support as long as there was a loophole that he got to attack Theo.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, she'd be like, yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah, and I really think at this point, Selena ratting Penguin out for the whole arson thing last week's episode is going to be the least of his problems. And actually, he might be thankful for it if he finds out the details of it, because that's part of what got Jim thinking, hey, maybe this whole situation isn't what it seems.
Right. Selena actually has a mind of her own and knows how to fight for what she wants, and she knows how to fight for what she wants. So she's got that. However, Alfred doesn't like. So, as we can know, there is only one thing in common with Selena and Silver. Alfred doesn't like them.
Yeah, that's a really good comparison. It just reaches out there and slaps you in the face, really.
Just like the tea.
Definitely, definitely. Like over in the chat room, SSP Body says Selena should throw Silver out the window. Agreed. And Bobby says Selena and Silver reminds him of Zelina and Regina from Once Upon a Time, another show we fan cast about.
I can kind of see that.
Definitely, definitely. Mm-hmm. Although they're not very sisterly, I guess.
But they're not very sisterly either.
Very true. Very true.
So there's that.
Very true. Okay, but...
Tag, you're it.
Two other characters in this week's episode who kind of have a lot of parallels going on. Mm-hmm. Theo and Bruce are a lot alike.
Theo and Bruce.
Theo draws out a lot of these comparisons in their conversation. For one, he says that they're both born into wealth and privilege and forced to walk alone. I walk a lonely road on the way to becoming Batman. No, and then he also talks about, you know, this obsession with justice and everything that it can consume you. But he kind of teases to Bruce, there's a way to move on without letting it go or without letting go of it. Which I think Theo is offhandedly saying,
give me your company.
I'm going to kill you after I get your company, and you're never going to satisfy this urge for vengeance.
Yeah, a little bit.
But I also think it's a nice tease towards, you know, Bruce becoming Batman. I kind of wonder, is this how Bruce will learn to cement his obsession and find an outlet for it to move on into becoming the Batman without really ever letting go of that pain of losing his parents?
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure that Theo was offhandedly threatening Bruce in a not so subtle way there for sure. Over in the chat room, let's see here. SSP Potty says Selina threw some great shade at Alfred last night. Very, very true.
Very, very true.
Very, very true. But I did like that Theo stated outright in this week's episode that he is gunning for Wayne Enterprises, and that's what he needs to do before he kills Bruce. You know,
he has to have it signed over first.
That's kind of what I've been theorizing the past couple episodes. It was just nice to hear it stated outright.
Always nice to hear what we've theorized come to life.
Definitely.
So I know we talked about Barnes possibly being on Team Theo. Mm-hmm. I'm still unsure as to which direction that goes. But what about Harvey Dent? Or was he just doing his job?
I think he was just doing his job. I think
even though he was the guy who introduced him, though.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And I mean, the thing is this might be my knowledge of the comics biasing me, but I know at least when Batman steps onto the scene, Harvey's still on the side of the Angels.
Okay.
More or less.
But we're twisting things here in this world. Mm-hmm. It's Gotham G on Earth G or whatever.
Yeah.
So I don't know, because, you know, he went so far as to be the one who's introducing the mayor at his party and everything. Like, hi, you weren't in the past, I don't know, 20 episodes. Where you been? And you're introducing the new mayor who just showed up in town a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Yeah. You know what I was wondering? I was thinking, like, okay, so Gordon is gunning for Theo now. Right?
Yeah.
I wonder what happens if he brings this information to Captain Barnes. Is Barnes going to be all for it? Is he going to think Jim's, you know, off his rocker, off in La La Land?
Yeah.
Is he going to, is he going to reveal himself as working with Theo? I mean, it's just, it could go any direction.
It really could go any direction. So that's the interesting part. I don't feel like Captain Barnes is going to go after Theo.
You don't
even
think?
If he's not working for him.
Yeah, because
he's the mayor.
Yeah, he seemed pretty supportive of the mayor, too.
Right. Well, that's because he was going to institute martial law.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was going to give Captain Barnes quite a bit of power.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. What are you over there Googling?
Oh, no, just for my next point.
Okay.
Something that I happened to notice this week.
I can't believe it took you this long.
I know it took me forever, right? But I don't think we've ever mentioned it on the show either.
I didn't feel it was that relevant, so I didn't.
Okay, but Theo Gallivan's apartment, I realized this week, is a redressed set that was a pretty pivotal set in last season's Gotham.
Yep.
And that's Barbara Keane's apartment.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's basically they took the clock out of the window. They threw a couple new pieces of furniture, a couple rugs down, added a table.
Yep.
And it makes total sense that's where why Barbara's always there, too. Because, I mean, what's her name? Erin Richards. She just goes to the same set she went to last year. It was all about her commute.
Absolutely, it was all about her commute.
But I have a picture of it up on the screen here that I can't believe it took me this long to realize it was Barbara's apartment.
I actually realized it in the very first episode, promos when they were all lined up in there and he was giving them the whole spiel.
And you just never told me. Your old co-host Bill Meeks.
I kind of thought you saw it and we just were not talking about it.
I didn't see it at all.
Because I was trying to the suspension of disbelief or whatever that you do when you watch these types of shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they only have so many sets.
Oh, SS Peabody says, if they killed Bruce, Jim could become Batman. And then Bobby says, only if they give Jim a mech suit with bunny ears, which is how he is in the comics right now.
Thanks.
Although I think that might be about over. I think they might have wrapped that up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, possibly. Okay, so you had one thing to wrap us up with here.
Butch.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we going to place bets now or later that he'll go crawling back to the pink. Shall we wait for next week?
I mean, we could place bets. I'll bet you a dollar.
That he will or will not.
That he will or will not. Both.
That doesn't work. That loses the whole effect of the bet.
No, you know what I will say?
I'll bet you a Snickers.
You know what I will say about Butch, though,
what?
This week's episode? It was nice to see him back without the artifice of the whole mind control thing going on.
None of the twitch.
Like he seemed much more relaxed and comfortable in his skin. Mm-hmm. Credit to Drew Powell.
Totally.
Retweeter of the show, Drew Powell.
Holla.
But yeah, it was just nice to see him kind of back. And you could tell that, you know, without the loyalty to Fish, he was like, okay, I'm going to go get mine.
I can do this.
I'm going to become the boss. I'm the boss now. I am the boss now, is what he said to those men who promptly abandoned him. But it'll be interesting to see, because, I mean, he's a series regular, so he's bound to be back every week.
No promises.
Yeah, I mean, that can happen. That can happen. We've lost a few along the way. But I definitely think it's going to be interesting to see where he goes from here, what his story is going to be. And I'm sure it's going to circle back around to Penguin, because they've been tied together from episode one. I mean, they appeared out in that alley in episode one, beating
up
Penguin,
on that dude. You want to give it a shot?
Yeah, SS Peabody doesn't think he'll be going back to Penguin.
All right, so that's where you're putting your Snickers.
I think he might be going back to Penguin, but very reluctantly. Very reluctantly.
Interesting.
Okay, let's see here. Anne-Marie.
Yeah?
Anne-Marie. Hold on, I'm stalling because I'm thinking of a good...
You didn't think of a thing?
Yes.
Oh, yay, yay.
Okay, Bobby says, Montoya and Alan, where are you? Very good point. Where are they?
I don't know.
Do you have any questions, any ideas? Where are Montoya and Alan in all this?
On other shows.
On other shows? Yeah, probably. Probably. Okay.
Another show.
Okay. Out of.
Come on, man. Get it together.
Out of 42 Uzis.
Okay.
Brandished by Jim and Bullock. How many
Uzis? That's what an Uzi looks like.
Okay. Let me redo that.
I don't know.
Let me redo the arbitrary scale because that one was bad.
Okay. This is probably your worst.
Out of two slut faces. How many slut faces do you give this episode?
I'm giving it two slut faces.
Two slut faces.
It's a double slut face.
A double slut face. It's a two-faced slut, actually.
Two-faced slut. It's probably better than a double slut face.
Okay, why?
Because it was awesome. Mm-hmm. All of the things happened. Unfortunately, and we didn't even really mention this, hashtag Save Gertrude did not happen properly.
No. She was out before the Gotham.
I'm like, Gertrude! But Bobby's going for the assault rifles. Forget the slut faces.
I guess so. that's an alternative.
It's an alternative.
That's definitely an alternative.
I like how much, so much happened, so many things. Mm-hmm. I want to see Kat fight for her man.
Yeah.
There's that.
I'm going to give it two slut faces / 42
one and two thirds
automatic weapons. Mainly just because of Ed in this episode. I loved Ed's plot in this episode. I loved everything else about this episode. Don't get me wrong. Everything about this episode was great. Mm-hmm. But it was so great to see Ed finally go for it and get what he deserves. And, you know, he's going to be, I think by the end of the season, he's going to be the premier villain of this show.
What's up over there, Baggy McBangers?
I'm just so excited about Ed.
SS Peabody says, hashtag Gertrude deserved better. And you know what,
Very
Peabody,
true.
You are right.
Very
Gertrude
true.
Gertrude did deserve better.
Definitely.
I mean, at least she didn't hook up with, what's his face, Maroney. That was a little creepy.
Yeah, Maroney?
Maroney.
Saskatoonie. Okay, now, on to the news. News. First up, the ratings. Gotham was up a tenth versus last week. It was up to a 1.6, which is good.
Hey, we like when we're going up. I don't care how slowly we get there. Let's go up.
Which makes me think that a lot of people might have been watching another show to check out and see how that was. And now that it's on...
Don't be that guy.
No, I'm just saying now that it's on completely against Gotham, maybe they were like, okay, well, maybe I'll go back to Gotham and catch that one on DVR.
Find out later.
Well, yeah, we definitely will find out later. I didn't even check to see what that show's ratings were this week. It was very...
It went down substantially, but it was still awesome.
Yeah, well, it had a lead in Big Bang Theory last week. Supergirl, we're talking about. Okay, next up we have the Tonight's the Night promo, which this one looks pretty
crazy.
Intense. And if you liked our barber talk earlier, this is going to have a lot of barber in it. Let's watch the preview
and find out
how much.
Today you get to kill Jim Gordon.
Today you get to kill Jim Gordon. I thought she was supposed to destroy him first.
Well, maybe this is all happening.
Hold on you.
And then Jim goes and kisses Barbara for some reason. I don't know why. Does he still have feelings for her? And now she's in a wedding dress with a gun in a church. They both have guns. And she wants them to kill her.
Next Monday, yeah, that's the thing that confuses me. Mm-hmm. And I don't. I have no idea what Barbara's endgame is trying to be.
She wants to marry Jimbo.
She's just crazy.
Jimbo Baggins.
No, you didn't.
I did. Okay. I absolutely did.
So.
And Bobby says Supergirl's not bad. A bit hokey, but it has room to grow. I've still only seen the pilot. I'm a little indifferent on it. I'm a huge Supergirl fan. I have a Supergirl movie poster right over there. But I just like
bring it back.
It was a little hokey, and I'm a little concerned about her working with the military.
Bring it back to Gotham.
Back to Gotham. Bring it back. Okay, so Gotham got nominated for a People's Choice Award.
Holla! They were nominated in the favorite network drama.
Mm-hmm.
Category. We'll put the link to vote in the chat
and
I'll
put it in the chat too, because I'm gonna go vote for it right now.
Are you?
Probably.
And
we'll have it in the show notes at legendsofgotham.com.
Yeah, I'm trying to scroll through real quick to see,
because I don't want to vote on any of the other categories.
I don't even know most of the other categories. I'm scrolling. Okay, favorite network TV drama: Empire, Gotham, Grey's Anatomy, How to Get Away with Murder, and Scandal. I'm noticing a theme.
See, I'm still scrolling here. I'm trying to.
Oh, it's like a quarter of the way down.
Yeah, it's way.
It's way down there.
It's way. I'm trying to vote, but I don't think I can vote without voting for some other stuff. So I'll do that later.
Yeah.
But everyone, get out there and vote for the People's Choice
Awards.
And
now back to Gotham.
And now back to your regularly scheduled Gotham. Okay, and there was also a few pieces of casting news this week.
There was quite a few pieces of casting news this
week. Yeah, first up, who's the first on our list, Anne-Marie?
First on our list is Mr. Freeze.
Mr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze.
Ice be back. Or something like that.
Ice be back. Really?
No, but he plays one of Frank Underwood's Secret Service agents on House of Cards. I've heard tell that he's a very good actor, and he should be very enjoyable in Gotham. What's his name again? I'm looking here.
Really?
It's like, where's the guy's name?
Seriously, I have pictures of the man.
Season 2 of Gotham has made perhaps its biggest casting announcement today with Victor Freeze, Mr. Freeze. And you can find out which he plays. Nathan Darrow. There we go.
I can't even see that.
It's actually in the first line underneath the picture, but it's kind of split up between two lines, so it was weird.
But
yeah, so we have our Victor Freeze, Nathan Darrow, which I know John Stevens, the executive producer of Gotham, when we talked to him back over the summer, said they were about to break the Mr. Freeze story, but they were looking for the right guy.
Yep.
This is the guy.
And he's set to appear in episodes 12 and 13.
12 and 13. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And maybe some more, too, hopefully.
Possibly. We'll see.
And they've also cast his wife.
They have also cast his wife.
Which I guess she's on the U.S. version of Being Human, which I haven't seen. I've seen the U.K. version, which actually Aaron Richards was on.
Really?
Yeah, she was on that.
See, now I kind of want to watch it.
It's a good show. It's a good show. But this is Kristen Hager will be joining the show as Nora Freeze, which if you know the Batman the Animated Series / modern comic book origin of Mr. Freeze, very important character.
Is she?
She'll be on ice.
Oh.
And last but not least, the scientist dude from Jurassic Park is going to be Hugo Strange.
Okay, so you can call him the scientist dude from Jurassic World.
Jurassic Park. He was also in Jurassic Park.
Was he?
I believe so, I believe so. I'll check.
Let me go ahead and check, but no. Oz Jurassic Park. World.
Yep, he played the same character. He was the only character to be in both movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Sorry, I just know him from SVU.
B.D. Wong. I will be playing.
Oh, apparently the doctor will be the one revealed to be conducting experiments on inmates with a view of creating supervillains for Indian Hill, the underground facility we saw Firefly taken to.
Yes, and I also will say this, and this might be a category of spoiler.
Yeah, I think that probably was.
I know they've been passing around, there's been an interview with Ben McKenzie being passed around saying that Indian Hill might be, there might be some dead people down there who might
come back.
Be coming back to life.
One that would make Bobby jump out of his skin?
That could be a fish. That could be a Jerome. That could be a
Balloon Man.
All of the penguins from this week's episode.
All of the penguins.
All of the penguins and all of the people.
Mm-hmm. So who knows? guess.
Yeah, we shall see on that. And I mean, Ben McKenzie, he might have been speaking a little out of turn, or he might have had the facts wrong. I guess we'll see.
We shall find out.
But you know,
so the Lazarus Pit, as you call it, is down there, maybe?
Could be. Could be. And SS Peabody, bring back Jerome. Nice. We all agree, SS Peabody. He was a good joker. Look at this joker.
Okay. No fish. Bobby's like, no fish, no fish.
Okay, so next week, when you get done watching the episode, grab your Uzi.
Again with the Uzis.
Put on your indie rock wig. Jump through a window.
You have to have
pick up the bat phone. Like, email us at legendsofgotham@gmail.com. Tweet us at legendsofgotham. Facebook is facebook.com/legendsofgotham. And the voicemail number, which we almost always play, is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And first up, we have Bobby. Take it away, Bobby!
Hey, Bill and Amory, it's Bobby.
Hey,
okay, once again, a great episode of Gotham. I've been saying that every week though so far this season. Because it's just like they've really stepped up their game. And so I'm going to do my – I could go on and on about this episode. There are so many great lines, great scenes. So I'm going to do my best to keep it as short as I can. You guys know how I feel about the big bads. Don't like Galavan, don't like Fish, or didn't like Fish. But dear God, what they're doing with the villains this season is just so unbelievably great.
Yeah.
Penguin, we all knew that Butch was going to turn on him. But really, Galavan, did you have to kill his mom? She didn't deserve that.
No.
And even Butch seemed a bit remorseful when he was talking to Gordon later, when he was like, I didn't think he was going to go through with it. I mean, I think Butch was like, yeah, he'll probably kill Penguin, but what kind of heartless bastard is going to kill his mom like that? All right. But wonderful scene between Robin Lord Taylor and Carol Kane. Such a great death scene. R.I.P. Mrs. Cobblepot, or Miss Cobblepot, were they divorced?
I don't know.
I guess we'll find out. Maybe this is what brings Mr. Cobblepot to town. But anyway, let's move on. Okay, Riddler, Nygma, love what they're doing here. I love how we're like delving deep into his psychosis and like what like made him the Riddler we all know and love. Or know and love, know and hate, whatever you want to say. But the break in him and like how now one's controlling the other, like it's a schizophrenic thing, until finally at the end where they like meld and become one. And there's that line where like the one, you know, they're yelling back and forth like Gollum in Lord of the Rings, and he's like, how does it feel? And it's beautiful. Or no, he kind of was like a little more subdued there. He's like, beautiful. And then he kind of just like started laughing as he started sawing up Miss Kringle.
Aww.
Great scene. Bullock wasn't really in it much, but I love the noir scenes he got. Like that was one of my favorite lines of the scene is of the episode when he said, sometimes even good guys have bad days.
Yep.
That was a great line. Other great lines, of course, was Silver saying, I'm Bruce's friend. I am his only friend. So apparently we were right on saying Silver was a bit shady or tarnished, shall we say.
Mm-hmm. Har.
Bruce is a very lonely boy.
Yeah, and he's got women fighting over him.
The pun. But yeah, those scenes with her and Kat were great. Almost felt like I was watching a scene between like Zelina and Regina or something. Mm-hmm. Wow, did that little girl just call that other little girl a slut? That's what was going through my head as I was watching. But yeah, oh, Butch is gone, but Gabe's back. Gabe is back.
Yes.
Very cool. Have not seen
Welcome
Gabe at all this
Gabe.
Season. I was almost worried that he was gone. So yeah, cool. Gabe's back. And Gabe is the man that's there and is loyal to Penguin and doesn't need mm-hmm. brainwashing. He yeah. comes up to Penguin later. He's like, dude, you're going to get shot. Just let us take him out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Stand by your Penguin.
You don't need to go through all this. He's going to be dead anyway. I don't want to see you get taken out. Loved that scene. Yeah, again, I could just go on and on about this episode. Kat saying, Alfred, yeah, that smell really slaps you in the face, doesn't it? I could just go on and on. So I'm not going to say perfect. Oh, the scene where they grab the guns and just, okay, I'm sorry, just going to stop. Okay, I'm going to give it, 15 of 17 notes, like all folded up in the palm, in like a cutoff palm, you know, someone's hand. Yeah. All right. Once again, guys, great episode and can't wait to see you in chat.
See, I wasn't the only one who had problems with it coming up with an arbitrary scale.
Yeah, for some reason.
Hands in a vending machine.
That would have been an
lady
easy
fingers.
One.
Lady fingers. It should have been lady
it
fingers.
It should have been lady fingers. Did you notice on the lady fingers package there was an umbrella?
I did not. That's fun.
Yeah, they did good on that.
Okay, and next up we have a week late, but from Dawn Noir. Take it away, Dawn.
Hi, guys. It's Wednesday, so I'm calling about Gotham. late, of course. I just like to say that I think there's still a chance that Kristen Kringle could be reanimated somehow by Indian Mill, right?
No.
Hugo.
Come back for Christmas to avenge her own dad.
No, he cut her off.
I think that could happen. I'm going to hold out hope for that. But the other thing I wanted to say is that Enigma, who probably had very little experience with women, actually did a really good job being a pretty good boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I want to give
Until
him props for that. I mean, except for all the killing part. The rest of it, he did really good. Good for him.
Thank you very much, Dawn.
That was awesome. You know, okay. Except the killing part.
Except for that little killing thing.
Yeah.
Okay, next up is Joel from Portland. Take it away, Joel.
Hey, Bill and Emery. Joel from Portland. What a great shootout. It seems like Jim finally got out all of his what not to do as a cop under a new boss aggression.
Yes.
Because now he can just say, I use that machine gun in self-defense against the man who took down our first task force member. Which leads me to a prediction that I think every single entire task force member will be gone by the end of the season, mm-hmm. which will spark the return of Alan and Montoya, but probably wrong. Anyways, about Kat. I think we could tell by the way that Kat was looking at Silver at Bruce's house the first time that she wasn't only suspicious of her, but that she was straight up jealous. It's so common at that age for someone to not care about you until you care about somebody else. And I think that's what's going on there.
Very true.
On the whole, it was a pretty good episode. I felt like, again, it was good writing. And they had great music when Ed was with KK in the morgue. I don't know if that's a theme, like a musical theme that they're playing now for Ed whenever he's thinking about Kristen Kringle or whatever. But
I think they're associating Ed with jazz music. Like, it's always a jazz track.
It's always
track,
jazzy.
Which I love. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love. It makes for a very weird, off-putting mood that's
so
great. Yeah.
Anyways, again, this episode, it did feel kind of rushed, as I said last week. It seems like the Gallivant arc of becoming a mayor could have been a great season-ending mm-hmm. arc, but again, they probably have something better in store for us. Anyways, arbitrary scale, I'd give this episode 25 out of 30 cloned penguins. Anyways, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much, Joel. And Bobby says Kringle will come back as a Frankenstein monster next Halloween. Why not a Franken Kringle? A Franken
for Christmas.
Elf or something for
Frank
Christmas.
Frank and Elf.
We could still get that Christmas episode.
I want that Christmas.
And he also says that Kat has always cared. She's just been guarded.
Which is true, but I don't think she even realized how much she cared until this episode.
And last but not least, as far as voicemails, we have Rebecca, she of Supergirl Radio, that's probably recording right now. Take it away, Rebecca.
What's up, Legends of Gotham?
What's up?
And I'm calling about the season 2 episode called Mommy's Little Monster. And I feel so bad for Penguin. He finally gets to reunite with his mother, and she is stabbed in the back while he's holding her in his arm. That is
the quickest cut.
I am also continuing to love the love triangle between Bruce, Selina, and Silver. Oh, man, Silver is a real piece of work, isn't she? I'm guessing that when she called Selina, quote, gutter trash, unquote, she didn't know about how Kat has literally clawed a dude's eyes out. Like, she's clawed a dude. His eyes went out.
Sorry, I didn't edit that.
I hope she understands that and finds that out, because maybe she won't treat Selina so badly. So hopefully that will lead to an inevitable catfight. I also really like what they're doing with Enigma. The idea that, for the lack of a better name, the cool Ed left clues for him to find at the GCPD.
And that's
a really fun and twisted way to go about his other half of himself. And I love their choice of music during that montage. Mm. I also really loved the editing and effects they used at the end of this episode, showing the cool Ed talking to the real Ed. Visually, it's a nice way to show the chaos and and confusion that's happening in his head as he's trying to work through all of this stuff. And I was wondering, because I'm trying to figure out this whole two parts of Edmigma thing, is there a better way to differentiate between the two Eds? Because I think calling him Cool Ed isn't really a great name, because he's not a cool guy. He's kind of a maniac, but he's not one of the maniacs.
Kind of
he's
a
just
maniac.
A maniac nonetheless. So if you have any ideas of what to call him, let me know, because I'm trying to figure out a way to distinguish between the two sides of Edmigma. Anyway, another great episode of Gotham Season 2, and I look forward to hearing your thoughts.
Thank you, Rebecca. And,
thank you.
You know, I would go with Head Ed.
We like Head Ed.
I think really the point of this episode
is to blend them.
There's no two sides of Edmigma anymore. It's all just one. Because, you know, Head Ed, Dark Ed, Cool Ed, whatever you want to call him, he's always been this static and, you know, that
Watch
really
that
cool dark effect.
Love that.
You notice at the end of this episode, the static is gone. Ed's standing there smiling. He picks up the thing. He's like, okay.
I got this.
I've got this now.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, I think the slightly neurotic the nerdy side of Ed and Head Ed, Dark Ed, Cool Ed have merged now to come to a nice median. Mm-hmm. And I really think Head Ed is the Ed we're going to see moving forward.
Yeah.
With glasses on for an episode or two.
Yeah, those glasses aren't going to last.
Yeah.
And, you know, props to Corey Michael Smith for his acting this entire arc, because he has two very different characters and he plays them exceptionally well, I think.
Oh, definitely.
So,
definitely.
I don't think we've really like given him that shout out, because that's not easy. Mm-hmm. That's not easy at all. So.
Yeah, and I really think it's just a matter of, I think the static's gone. Now, he had to accept that part of himself or he was going to end up in Arkham. I mean, he'll get there eventually.
Eventually.
He's motivated. He'll get there. but he kind of had to realize that was as much a part of him as the nerdy guy to move forward. And I think now we're going to be moving forward. Hardcore. Okay, so next week when you get done watching the show, why don't you throw on an indie rock wig, a nice jacket, throw a bottle cap in your shoe, jump through a window, shoot some people, get shot, then email us, legendsofgotham@gmail.com. Tweet us at Legends of Gotham. The Facebook is facebook.com/Legends of Gotham. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And yes, we should start a body count for Ed. He's a two.
Two.
So we've started SSP body.
Yay.
You are very welcome. Emery, where can people find you online?
Hi, you can find me on Twitter at AMDSimone.
And as for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can follow all of the podcasts we do at universebox.com. You can pick up my books at dogboyadventures.com. And you can check us here next week, 8:30 p.m. EST at live.universebox.com for more
legend
for more of the show.
I didn't know what was happening. Stuff. I'm all confused.
Yeah, and we want to thank our chat room again.
Yes.
We love you guys. It's
Bobby, SSP Body, Daniel the Creeper, who hasn't said anything.
But we still love him. We love him like a brother.
We love you.
We love him like Head Ed. Join us next week for more Legends of Gotham. Gotham. Bam, 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 bam. Bum, 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 bum. Head Ed.
Head Ed.
Head Ed.
Head Ed.
Head Ed.